One of the things that I found myself thinking about was the mercy and the grace of God.
You may be seated.
Just thinking about how consistent the God of the Bible is. How faithful he is. How even when he has blessed us and we have fallen, and like the old saying, I'm falling and I can't get up, God in some way and somehow in some manner just shows us that, you know what, I know you messed up. I know you messed up. But because of my love for you, because of my mercy and my grace, I'm going to take care of you. Father God, I need a miracle. What happens when you have put yourself into an impossible situation? When you can no longer hide your sin or distract everyone from what is really going on? What happens when you know that it's just a matter of time before the end of your world happens? I think this is exactly what King David felt like when he was sitting on his throne and the prophet came to give a dramatic account. A rich man robbed a poor man. And when the king heard that, he was angry. And he said, well, that rich man, I'm paraphrasing, has to suffer. Not only has to suffer for what he has done, he has to pay extra. And then the prophet said something. He said, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David and came unto him and said unto him, there are two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had an exceeding and many flocks of herds. And the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up. And he grew it together with him and with his children. He did eat with him his own meat and drank at his own cup and laid in his bosom and was unto him as his daughter. And when came a traveler into the rich man, he spared not to take his own flock, but from his own herd. For he dressed the wearying man, and he came unto him, but he took the poor man's lamb, and he dressed it up and gave it to him, and greatly kindled against that man. And he said, as the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. And he said, restore the lamb fourfold, because he has done this, because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. And thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. You see, King David was not unaccustomed to strife. He was not unaccustomed to challenges. King David knew what it felt like to be the underdog, to have issues. King Saul hated him for no apparent reason. He was jealous of the anointing of God on his life. King Saul was so jealous of this young man who was just in his teens, that three times he tried to kill him. The Bible said King Saul took his spear and tried to staple David to the wall. King David had to leave his family. He had to leave his friends. He had to sleep in caves, in holes in the ground. The entire army of Israel was after him. Because God saw King Saul's heart. God saw King David's heart. And God wanted to make King David king of Israel. King David didn't understand that. That sometimes God allows your enemies just to be your enemies. He allows the closest people around you to put the knives in your back or try to. So King David knew what it felt like to get stabbed in his back. He knew what it felt like to be a wanted man, Israel's most wanted. So you would think after being in that position of an underdog, being poor, and having the rich and mighty after you, you would think he would be a little bit more sensitive to that plight. You would think that he would have a little more understanding that you don't take from the poor when you're rich. You should be content for what you have. You should handle your business differently. But King David, like many people, he got rich and switched. No longer was he thinking about what is he going to eat. He had the best chefs and the best foods. In fact, he never washed the dishes. He didn't set his plate. There were dozens of people around him eating all the time. He knew for the rest of his life, God would physically provide for his needs. But that's not even it. Forget the fact that he had unlimited food. Forget the fact that he was one of the wealthiest kings in Israel's history. He knew God personally. He felt the anointing of God. He understood God's power and God's strength. At 16-ish, he killed Goliath. Goliath came with him, against him with shield and buckler. He said, "You come against me with shield and buckler, I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts." Sling 5 stones, hit Goliath, took Goliath's sword, chopped off his head. King David knew that God was protecting him. He had a profound prayer life. Read the Psalms. He spoke to God whenever there was a situation. He said, "God, should I go and pursue? They took my wife and children. My men want to stone me. Should I pursue them? Will I overtake them?" And before he moved, God gave him the answer. He had that relationship. So you would think King David would understand. Don't touch what doesn't belong to you. I think that's why the account was so, for me, was intriguing. It was just one of those verses, one of those passages of scriptures that I think we need to read again. And I need you to understand what's taking place now. King David's surrounded by his private army. He's sitting on his throne. It's a good day, and the prophet comes in. And the prophet doesn't just come into the king's presence for no reason. David trusts the prophet to give him a word from the Lord. Now, King David had his own relationship with God, but he understood that sometimes God speaks through others. Nathan was one of those others. He was one of those people that God would often speak through. So when Nathan came, the Bible says, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him, and he said unto him, there were 2 men in one city, and one was rich, and one was poor. But the poor man had nothing save one hewed little lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. And he did eat his own meat and drink his own cup and laid in his bosom, and it was unto him as a daughter." So I want you to understand that the prophet is building up the suspense. He's making an emotional connection. He's saying, "King, this wasn't just a man that had a pet. This wasn't a man who was even childless. He was a good man. He had children, but he saw this lamb, and this lamb he raised as his own daughter. It was a love that he had for this animal. And Nathan goes on, he said, and there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spread to take, and he speared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wearing man that was to come unto him. So in other words, the rich man had a friend visit him. And instead of just going into his backyard and sending his servants, you know, get Lucy and Cooker, he said, no, I'm not going to take any of mine. But the rich man said, I'm going to take, listen, the Bible said, but he took the poor man's lamb, the same one that he loved and he cherished. He took it, dressed it, for the man was to come to him. I want you to listen. As soon as King David heard that, the Bible says, and David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. He didn't even allow Nathan to stop speaking. He got upset. And he said, listen, as the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. Now understand, King David knew better than to take the Lord's name in vain. That's one. Two, he was the king. If he said someone was to die, that was it. It's chopping off the head top. So he made a profound statement. And no sooner as he says it, he goes on. He goes, not only is the man going to get killed, but he said he shall restore the lamb fourfold because this thing, and because he had no pity. So he gave the reason. The rich man had no pity. And he did evil. And then the next thing, I'm sure it would have just, everyone would have been like, what just happened? Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Back in my day, he would say, you the man. You're the one. Guilty. David's wife, David's children, David's armor bearers, all of these people are hearing the king so angry, pounding the table, yelling, kill him, fourfold, that's it, no pity. And Nathan says, you are the man. King David's sin has just been exposed in front of everybody. What do you do then? What do you do then? Now, today I can tell you what happened. What many people will do. They'll go on social media. Is the camera on and say, that wasn't me. I didn't do it. I know it looks like me in the video. I know the police said it was me. I know City News says it was me, but it wasn't me. I'm absolutely innocent. I know all those witnesses who said I was there, and they made, that wasn't me. In other words, someone would lie. The instinct is to lie, to deny it, to run away, fight or flight. But here's what King David did. Listen. We get right with God when we've sinned and we have confessed. King David understands the power of confession. Confession is not covering our sins. Confession is when we admit to our wrongdoing. I have fallen. I'm guilty. I'm wrong. Oh, please listen to me. Please listen. Since Adam and Eve fell into sin, there has been a tendency for the human heart to attempt to cover up.